Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to digitalcommerce.com and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's digitalcommerce.com.
This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Welcome to The Missing Link, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the responsive Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
I am totally awesome today. How are you, Sean?
I am actually excited today. I'm always fantastic. Today, I'm especially excited because when we put out a challenge many, many episodes ago about publishing to Pulse, on LinkedIn, to go into LinkedIn and to start publishing content on the Pulse network there, and we promised everyone we would review it. The number one thing that almost everyone forgot to do was...
Or put it somewhere hidden.
Right, or put it somewhere hidden was, Micah, tell everybody.
Their call to action. What do you want your audience to do?
Exactly,
what do you want your reader to do?
Exactly. You know, marketing is communication that inspires action, people. And it always gets me that when we're putting things out there for consumption as a marketer, we forget to put in the call to action. In fact, and it's funny because I asked our copywriters here at Rainmaker Digital, I said, guys, next to the headline, what is the second most important thing you think about when you're writing a post? And they all said the call to action, number two on their list, you know, because if you're not inspiring action, then you're not doing marketing. So with that said, I asked Micah to reach out and find us someone who could talk about calls to action in a way that was inspiring.
Yeah.
And who do we have, Micah?
We have John Nemo. He's the best-selling author of LinkedIn Riches, and he is amazing. He's just an amazing wealth of knowledge about LinkedIn.
He really is, and I will tell you, in this interview with John, it is he's so personable, and he's so likable, and he's so smart. And I think what you're going to find in this episode, everyone, is that there are some very, very clever and simple ways to embed calls to action in your LinkedIn Pulse post that move the needle. So John is going to come through with several tip tactics and ideas that will really help you get people to act and do it in a way that is simple for you to execute on. Sound like a good show, Micah?
It does. And we'll actually give you an example of some of his posts where it's perfectly executed.
Oh, even better. So you can look at it as a case study on something to follow. I love that. All righty. Well, and for this episode, everyone, we are not going to push our group. Okay.
Nope.
Micah doesn't get to give a little spiel on how to join it. Nope. We're not going to tell you how to get into our super secret private LinkedIn group. We're not.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Which is absolutely awesome because we have tons and tons of great resources. But we're not going to do that because, quite frankly, I want to make a change. I want to make a change, and I want you to not know about our group. But if you really, really, really want to join it, then go into LinkedIn and just type in The Missing Link and we will see your request to join and we will probably let you in.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to plug it. I'm not going to plug it, Micah. This is a no plug for our super secret, you know, awesome LinkedIn group where, you know, almost 500 people are exchanging ideas in case I, I'm not going to plug it.
Asking questions, getting answers.
Nope. The
Don't
only
talk
way,
about it, Sean.
Yeah, we're not going to. If you're curious, you can just go The Missing Link in LinkedIn and you can see that group and you can request to join, but I'm not going to give you the super secret way to get in on this episode because dang it, I have a negative call to action.
This is what not to do.
That's right. So
actually, no, it's pretty cool because now people might be really excited about it.
Yeah,
go check out. Yeah. Look up Missing Link in LinkedIn. You'll find us.
That's it. And when we get back from the break, we will have John Nemo from LinkedInRiches.com to walk you through the positive ways of doing a call to action that will make actions inspiring for your audience. So stay tuned.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. And we are going to deep dive into calls to action. As I said earlier, that is the fundamental missing piece of what most people are not doing when it comes to LinkedIn posts. So, Micah, who do we have to help us craft up some very clever ways for generating calls to actions on LinkedIn Pulse?
Oh, it's so exciting to have John Nemo, best-selling author of LinkedIn Riches and a total trainer weekly for anything you might need to know about LinkedIn, Q&A sessions, webinars, trainings. Check him out.
Excellent. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're most welcome. Most welcome. And I'm excited to talk about this because, as I said before, you know, when we looked at all those Pulse posts that people had generated up and we gave comment, universally, people forgot the call to action. You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of like saying a marketer, but not asking for a sale, right? You know?
Right, right.
So let's go through and let's set this up first, because we covered Pulse in depth a lot through a series we did, but I want to get your rationale, your reason for why marketers should be publishing on Pulse to begin with.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's so many reasons, but the number one thing is that's where your audience is. If you're on LinkedIn, think of it. Here's a simple analogy, Sean, a quick analogy is if you go fishing, you need some bait, right? You can't just drop a hook in the water and pull out your fish. Your content on LinkedIn is your bait. That is the bait that attracts the audience, demonstrates your credibility, builds your personal brand, likability, trust. You've got to share content on LinkedIn, and using their publishing tools is where it's at. And they've made it easier than ever to do now with the written, you know, posts. You can now embed podcasts with SoundCloud, videos. We'll get into all that, but there's no excuse if you want to earn a living using LinkedIn in any form to not be on Pulse regularly.
Absolutely. And this goes, you know, we talk a lot about this because, you know, recently LinkedIn, as I'm sure everyone knows, had a giant stock crash, right? And the reason their stock crashed was because they're expecting slower growth in the future. However, what was interesting to me was that their sponsor content is doing extremely well. In fact, they're going all in on sponsored content, which indicates to me that there is huge value in publishing to LinkedIn because it is getting consumed. They would not be providing it. They wouldn't be pushing sponsored content unless they felt that that content curation and creation in the Pulse network, as well as the sponsoring of that, has huge value. So I think LinkedIn's telling everybody, shut up and write.
Right.
I got to say one thing quickly. You're spot on. Think about what LinkedIn has done, partnering with all the news organizations and then tapping into 400 million plus members to create content, to share, to distribute, to niche target audiences. It's win-win for all of us.
Right.
It really is. And sponsored content makes total sense. I think I'm going to make a bold prediction. Okay. I think we're going to see sponsored content for individual accounts. I think you and me, you know, before the end of 2016, are going to have an ability to pay money to place our content in front of our target audiences, to place our posts in news feeds. It's coming.
It is. And I'm not going to disagree with you one iota. Okay. So let's go through the thing that just drives me crazy. Now, I have a definition for marketing, which is this: marketing is communication that inspires action. And I think marketers can do a great job of creating communication. I think they can do a great job of inspiring, but they usually leave off the action part. So let's talk about actions. You've taken the time. You see the value proposition. You're creating up a great headline, which, by the way, go Google magnetic headlines. You'll see a copy blogger, the page there. We talk inordinately about the value and power of a headline, and we get that. But the second most important part of any Pulse post is the call to action. If headline is number one, call to action is number two, and usually the people forget it. So, John, let's go into the meat of this. Calls to action that work. Tell us what works.
Yes. Yeah. There's several different types that we can break down. The first one that works really, really well, this one probably drives me 15 to 20 clicks and leads a day. Just doesn't matter what my post views are. It just automatically drives them, is a really compelling image that you create. So, you know, whether you create it yourself with Canva or they have a designer, but an image that links to, you know, some kind of piece of content, whether it's a free training, an ebook like you just mentioned, Sean, or, you know, something over on your website, whatever, create an image that has some text and image together in it. Okay, so for my example, let's say I have a free webinar I want to send people to, right? I've written the content, I've demonstrated some expertise, I want to get people on my training. So I created, an image that says, you know, want more, jump on the free webinar. What you do is you insert that image at the bottom of your Pulse post, and then you highlight it with your cursor so it turns blue. You then insert a hyperlink on top of that to your landing page. Mm-hmm. And this is a big mistake I don't see people making, is they put an image in. What's the first thing we all do when we see an image on the internet? We try to click on it, right? Like, why isn't it working? What's wrong with me? You know, my mom, I'm clicking the button, honey. You know, so I actually create images that have buttons in them.
Ooh.
So like, or I just take a screenshot from a sign up page on my website and insert that as my LinkedIn, as an image on LinkedIn, highlight it, and then they let you hyperlink images. And so what I do is I'll even take the email opt-in box and I'll put that at the bottom of my post. Want more tips like this? Jump on my email list. And it says, you know, name, click here to register, you know, email, whatever. So when they click on it on LinkedIn, it just redirects them to the landing page with the live box.
I love that. Let me parrot that back, because that is just hugely, you just gave a wealth of data there. First off, do the obvious, which is put an image that has a link to something, right? And secondly, design that piece. And it doesn't have to be hard. You do not have to be a graphic designer to do this, right? I mean, you can find free stock images out there. You can go to Canva, you can get an image, you put text on there, and then the trick that I really like, not the tactic, is put a button on there, make it something that stands out. Click here, this is an action, and combine that all in one image, and you do not have to be a graphic designer to make that happen. That's a powerful, powerful idea. Holy cow.
And I'm bringing my A game, Sean.
I love it, baby. Keep it coming. Back.
No, listen, that's a key element is the image, the appeal, it makes sense to me. I just got done reading this post. It was very helpful. I want more. Oh, cool. He's got a training and it says click here to go check out the training.
And we're not talking about the image at the top of the header. We're talking about the image in the body of the piece, either in the middle or at the end, that has the call to action. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about this image. So we've got our image created up. I mean, heck, you can go into PowerPoint and do this, for goodness sake. I mean, so we've got the image created up. We have our header image, which is the one that appears at the very top. It's about 700 by 400 pixels. What do you recommend putting that image? Should you scatter it throughout, put it at the end? I mean, where is the placement of that image, that call to action? Where should it be?
I always put it toward the bottom, because I feel like I've got to earn the right to ask. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to earn the click. And so once they kind of get through the content and I've left them like, wow, he really demonstrated a lot of value. That makes a lot of sense about, you know, how to write this or do that. Then, oh, cool, there's more. The natural, you see that on blogs, right? You see that everywhere. You can sneak it in as well in the middle. You can do a more horizontal shaped image. Like, you know, I see this popping up more and more on blogs, but you can also do it with LinkedIn, is put it in the middle, put it at the bottom, you know, repeat it a couple places. The beautiful thing about LinkedIn is they will automatically resize that image for you, so it looks nice on mobile, it looks nice anywhere, and it'll be clickable. The key is to make it clickable and put in a button. And that's probably the most effective call to action that I've seen. And there's several others that we'll get into here, but that one definitely is at the top of the list.
Yeah, and the nice thing is too, is that you can set it to a white background. You can make it seem like a natural piece. If you're embedding in the middle, you know, my field calls to action is they should have a logical place in the placement on the screen, right? And I agree with the earning part, but sometimes, you know, if you're writing well, you're convincing people, you're inspiring them to move, and a little tiny image that is a button that clicks to say, let's find out more, can help reinforce it with another one. Because again, you can use different ones and scatter them out, and like a good marketer, you should test. And the beauty with Pulse is there's no penalty for testing.
So. No. And I like, Sean, where you're going, because it breaks up the text anyway. way.
Yeah.
You want to have a lot of images in your post to break up the scrolling. And another thing I should mention is I always put above those images a big like H1 size headline, like want more, get on the free training. You know, I put a headline right above the image. I might put some text above or below the image saying, you know, having a hyperlink in the text just to double my efforts to make sure, you know, if they don't click it. It's just, and you might do two sentences about if you like what you're, you know, reading here, you know, click the image below to get access to the free training series or whatever. Right. And that'll have a hyperlink in it and then a colon and then the image. So it's just kind of common sense, but just thinking like your viewers, your readers would of how would they figure this out? And then making it, you know, abundantly clear to them how to find you.
All right. We got to keep going because you got tons more to share. I got tons more questions. So what's the next tip?
Yeah. Another great call to action that I've seen great success with, believe it or not, is embedding video, right? Think about the power of video. Next to being face-to-face, there is no more powerful form of marketing to build that know, like, and trust than video. To me seeing you, Sean, looking you in the eye, so to speak, seeing your personality, your voice, your facial expressions. So, you know, what I love to do is I have different videos I'll embed at the bottom of posts like, hey, I'm really glad you like this. You know, welcome to my LinkedIn profile, whatever it is. You on camera talking. And if you want more, just click the image above my head here, right? And you can lay it out that way on LinkedIn to go get my free video series. Because again, with videos, people love to consume that. And we all know the stats about YouTube and how much videos watched online. And LinkedIn makes it so simple to embed videos. You can also embed marketing videos, frankly. You know, if you want to learn more about our premium product for XYZ, watch the video below. And it's a pre-done, you know, kind of commercial video, animated, whatever. There's different styles of videos that you can embed depending on what you have already as an asset if you're a marketer. But use those. Use that space, right? You've earned the right to ask them to take another step with you. And again, some people love to watch video more than they love to read text.
Sure.
Right.
So, and the emotional connection that that creates, right? So when I was marketing an inspirational book that I had written, right, called Fired Up. And so I had a video of a guy, you know, climbing a mountain. And I mean, it was very, the music. And so I put that in at the bottom of each post with, of course, links to, you know, go get more, buy the book. But also when you embed YouTube videos, remember, you can put stuff inside of YouTube videos so that that pops up. And it pops up inside LinkedIn as well, like click here to subscribe or, you know, click here to learn more about the book or the, you know how that works.
Sure.
So that's why I recommend embedding YouTube videos because you, again, you get the YouTube views, the SEO views on YouTube and on Google. But also when you stick those on LinkedIn, those little buttons you can sneak inside of YouTube videos are there.
Yeah, those annotations are hugely powerful.
Annotations, et cetera. So video is another big one.
Yeah, and the nice thing is we did a series with Scott Skybell, was that it, Micah?
Yeah, he's
and
still in
he
the group.
Showed us how to create up a very simple way of putting video together. And the key for video beyond the call to action, making that clear and obvious, is the audio, right? Because video is about audio, so don't worry about the image per se, but definitely if you have to do a trade-off, make the audio best. All right, so we got video down, we got an image down, which is awesome. We got a video, which is very, very powerful to continue the story. And again, horizontal spread because again that's how people are consuming it. What else do we got, John?
We got podcasts. My favorite, I'm on right now.
Hey, I love podcasts.
We love
podcasts.
Here's what I have found, to be honest with you, and this is a great kind of content marketing plan in general, is create a post right around a topic and then record a little podcast to go with it.
Right.
And then, you know, I see Social Media Examiner doing this. I see you guys doing this. I see lots of people doing this where they'll say, you want to listen to the post? Click here.
Yeah.
Right. And putting that at the very top. And with LinkedIn now, with Pulse and posts that we publish, we can embed a live SoundCloud file that they can click play on their phone, on their desktop, so they can listen inside of LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And so what I really recommend is if audio is part of your marketing repertoire or a podcast, things like that, embed those, right? Okay. Embed an image linking to the podcast more, but embed an episode, right? Say, if you liked this post on XYZ, you'll love our full episode on, you know, ABC going even deeper. Click here to listen, right? And all of a sudden, they're going further into your funnel. They're getting to know you more. They're consuming more and more and more. Like, I have people tell me this all the time, like, yeah, I was stalking you on YouTube. I came across one video. I watched the next one. Or, hey, I somebody mentioned your podcast. I listened to one episode and next thing you know, I'm binging on it, you know, just like cereal doing the laundry. Right. Okay, that doesn't really happen to me. I'm not as good as cereal, but I mean, come on, right?
Sure.
Like it's the same idea of they want more and more and more. And it's like the trail of cookies through the forest, right? You know?
Like right. No. And of course, it helps build the people who know, like, and trust you, right? I mean, at the key Absolutely. Of any endeavor where you have a commercial relationship, you have to build the knowledge, the likability, and the trust so that everyone feels comfortable in that arrangement, which hopefully will lead to a sale of some sort. So I think you're right. And audio can do that because you can put some personality into it, right? It gives you, beyond video, it also gives you a little bit of an easier medium to talk to someone in terms that are meaningful to them. And certainly we've seen with podcasts hugely beneficial to not only our company, but to many, many other marketers out there. And the best part is production cost is so simple. Get a mic, get a computer, you're set to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So what's the next one, John?
Yeah. So there's plenty more. I mean, another one that I see working really well if you are a coach, a consultant, a trainer type of person where you need to be on the phone with people kind of, you know, doing some calls or, you know, inventory or, you know, free analysis, whatever, is putting in some text, some paragraph, you know, kind of thing, combined with an image or not, but really saying, hey, if you want more, you know, I will meet with you, give you this X, Y, Z, and putting your contact info directly into the post, into the call to action.
That makes
too
sense.
Too many people are just assuming, oh yeah, okay, well, if they like it, they'll click on my profile, they'll ask me to connect, and then they'll look for my contact info button, and then they'll find it, and then they'll, no, like, we're lazy. Especially in America, we're lazy. Put your number right in front of me so that in the heat of the moment, I can call you, right? You know, go ahead.
No, it's great because here's the thing. I notice a lot in the online space especially that everyone is deathly afraid someone's going to call, okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God. You know, it's funny because 10 years ago, you know, what was the term? We want the phones ringing off the hook, you know?
Right.
Now we want our inbox cluttered is apparently the replacement. But I do think that as a marketer, if you want to stand out, you know, you're not saying put your personal cell phone number so people can annoy you. Right. What you're talking about is putting a call to action with contact information, a phone number, an email address, something that says this is the best way that you can get in touch with me immediately. And the beauty with phone numbers especially is you can get very cheaply a ghost number, right? You can just go to one of the myriad of services and get a number that then routes to your cell phone that you can put rules behind when it comes in. Heck, you can even put a messaging on there saying, hi, this is Sean, blah, blah, blah. Press one if you really want to talk, et cetera. Because I swear, it's almost like marketers are afraid that people will actually contact them via the phone, right, to make a sale.
God forbid.
So I think that's great. And then it's the same with email too, right? Because yes, there's going to be spam that gets that email. But I'm telling you, modern spam filters now are amazing, amazing. And again, you can put rules to the email to help filter and sort through. So I think, you know, that's something that I think everyone's afraid to do. I can't put my phone number and email on the thing because people may contact me.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, let's take a step back. And it's really about your strategy as an individual person, business owner, salesperson, whatever you do. How do you sell people? Right? What's the next logical step? Is your business the type that you need to be on the phone with them?
Right.
Like then you need to take Sean's advice and get a number, whatever, get a work line and put that everywhere. Right. I mean, so that people can do that, you know, and regardless, one of the keys to a call to action, I put this in at the bottom of every post alongside everything else is I put in an about the author because I don't assume that they know who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't assume they're going to go look at my profile. So at the bottom of every single post, I put in about the author. You know, John Nemo is a LinkedIn author and trainer who, you know, helps audience X achieve outcome Y. Right. Learn more about him on his website.
That's awesome because Micah, and definitely because that's another tip right there. It's not necessarily a direct call to action, but it builds authority for the call to action.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Micah. I jumped on you.
No. We're having a blast with this. I'm learning so much.
I'm looking at your post right now. Should you make your LinkedIn connections private? And it is gorgeous with these links to call to action down at the bottom. And the about, I'm seeing everything that you're talking about right there. I'll put this into the show notes so everyone can see exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
So that's a perfect example of some bait really quickly was I take one tiny topic. Should you make your LinkedIn connections private or not? Right. I give my opinion on it, the backstory. I have a great 1980s photo in there of me rocking the rolled jeans. Okay. Can't make that up, Sean. No personal branding, right? The glory days of MC Hammer pants and vanilla ice.
Exactly.
Okay. And then I end it with, hey, if you like this tip, I do free trainings. And here's a nice large image that says, you know, free video series. And then here's a, it's clickable. Here's a button. Here's an email box. And then I have the about the author and who I serve and go get more, right? And so there's multiple ways that people can connect with me. Something's going to catch their attention depending on the, you know, situation they're in. So that's key to really having these CTAs, these call to actions in your profile and on the post as well.
All right. So what I want to go through next, because I think you literally, I think any one of these tactics are amazing. I think if people will focus on the call to action, you've given them plenty of options. Now I want to jump on to another a topic related to this. You've given us tactical things. We talked about images. We talked about video. We talked about podcasts. We talked about the idea of making authority by putting about the author in there and all sorts of valuable information. But here's what I need from you, John. What are the words that I should be using? Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is, I think, something, you know, again, when you're in company of copywriters like we are, trust right. me, those call to action words matter. So to end this off, what are some words, what are some ways to phrase these calls to action that really you've seen move the needle?
Yeah. What really works well for me as a headline above the image or whatever is want more question mark, get the free training exclamation point, you know, like what you're reading, you know, get more.
So what a else? Question, basically.
A question and then a statement.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So kind of the whole thing of if you like this post, you might also like XYZ, right? You know, that's another call to action we didn't even mention was putting in links. This is a little bonus tip, right? Put a little asterisk next to this one because I got one more. Put in links to your other posts that are relevant to this topic, right?
Yes.
Put in bullet points with links and just put in the headline to your other LinkedIn posts. Keep them in your ecosphere. Keep them reading your stuff, going deeper and deeper and deeper with other posts. So, you know, even a related post, or if you like this, you might enjoy other posts such as 1, 2, 3, 4, right? And those are already done. All you got to do is copy paste the headline and the hyperlink, you know, and again, if you have a content plan, but words like that, if you like this, then this, right? Mm-hmm. Or want more is a big one that I see work really well, right? Or, you know, next steps, right? Next steps is a good one. So just some of these quick hitting headlines, you know, meet John Nemo. If I do a video of me at the bottom, right? Meet the author, meet, you know, learn more about XYZ, right? Learn more about topic XYZ and then have the image or the video or the podcast. You know, go deeper is another good one, another little copy piece. You can say, go deeper, learn more about, you know, issue X by listening to the podcast below. Mm-hmm. So those are just some quick ones off the top of my head. And I love you. Put me on the spot, man. Making me, you know.
Perform,
I,
John,
I will say
perform.
The first headline writing resource I ever used, and it's still the best one to this day, was Magnetic Headlines.
Yeah, it really is.
Honest to God, that stuff was, and that's how copy blogger gets all my money. I got in on all the free stuff, and I'm like, this stuff is so good, I can't believe what their paid products must be, right? And so it's just like, that's content marketing in a nutshell. That's why you guys are who you are.
Yeah. And I think your idea of the related is certainly something that, you know, I didn't even occur to me because, you know, this magic thing called a hyperlink is very powerful.
Yes.
And it continues the conversation because, again, you know, part of building likability is the ability to have more interaction with you over time, to learn more about you, right? And I think as you're relating posts to them that are following the topic thread, it's just re-enhancing. Oh, I know this guy. I like this guy. And he talks so well about it. I can trust him. Love this. All right. We're coming to the end of this. I swear I could go on for another hour on this, but what is the parting thought, the tip, tactic, technique, something that you want everyone to at least consider while they're doing and focusing on their calls to action?
The number one thing is do it. Like, you have to do it. Go back and also go back to all your old posts and add it in because those do get read. They do get circulated. I get comments from a post I wrote a year ago and somebody stumbled across it, found it in a group, you know, LinkedIn indexes all the publishing. So people do searches and it pulls up relevant posts for keywords. Like, go back. It's worth the time. You never know
right.
where that'll come from. The other thought is really assess your strategy. How do you land clients? Is it through webinars? Is it through phone calls? Is it through ebooks? Whatever that is, prioritize that and make that your call to action. Is it, you know, whatever that number one thing is, if it's your phone number and bio, if it's a webinar, that needs to be front and center. And the third thought would be experiment, like Sean said, putting it up multiple places in the post, especially if it's a long form post, a long one, put it in the middle, you know, the top third, the middle and the bottom third and the end, and see what happens, right? See what posts are generating the leads.
You know, John, I can't thank you enough for your insight. I'm mesmerized by this whole interview, and I would encourage everyone to go over to LinkedInRiches.com. Every week, John is talking about meaningful things when it comes to LinkedIn marketing with free training, free webinars. Just take the time. The guy is brilliant. I thoroughly love this conversation. John, thank you so much for being on our show.
Oh, it was an honor. Thank you guys.
So Micah, I'm inspired. I want to get this guy back on for another hour. And actually, I don't want to do that. I want to tape it all for myself. No, I can't do that. I owe it to my audience. This guy knows his stuff. So this, I've wanted to cover this topic, Micah. I'm glad you got John on the show. And I'm just inspired by it because I think this is the one thing marketers don't do well. Right, Micah?
Yeah. And I want to, you know, my ending thought with this would be, you know, John Nemo, you are so personable with your happy birthday video that we put into our Missing Link group. And so I just invite everyone to be personable. I mean, John Nemo is wonderful to talk to you and to learn and pick your brain. So just put your personality also into your posts and in your calls to action.
I couldn't agree more. Micah, this has been another fantastic show, if I do say so myself. I will encourage everyone to listen to us next week on The Missing Link.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.